The scripture reading this morning is Philippians 4, 10 to 13. It's on page 1830 in your pew Bible. As I mentioned, I'm going to be finishing this series of sermons on Philippians today. This morning we're going to be looking at these verses 10 to 13, and then this evening basically at verse 19. Listen to the Word of God as I read from Philippians 4, beginning with 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him, that is Christ, who gives me strength. So far the reading of the Word. Before we open this wonderful passage, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father, we pray that as we look at this secret of contentment of the Apostle Paul and the power of it, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We pray, Lord, that you will bless this word onto our hearts, that we may truly rest in the Lord and wait patiently for you and know that all is well. As we sing in that great hymn, "It is well. It is well with my soul." Forgive our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ our Lord, that song which we all know so well, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, or sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Do you know what that is? That's contentment. That is contentment. To say it is well with my soul. Can you say that today? You know, the hymn writer who wrote that great hymn, Horatio Spafford, who lived between 1828 and 1888, he wrote it at a terrible time. He had lost his family. He was in the U.S. His family was coming over on a ship from England, and they died at sea. And he writes this hymn that no matter what circumstance, whether it's peace like a river or sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my... That's contentment. That is contentment. And that is what the Apostle Paul is talking about in this passage. He is saying, I have learned in whatever circumstance I am to be content. So let's look at this today. First of all, the scope and the power. The scope is everything. I have learned in whatever circumstance. And the power is Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So let's kind of unpackage that. First of all, what actually is contentment? Well, that word content comes from the Latin. And some of you have taken Latin. I hope that all of the high school kids someday will... I hope that Latin will be a required subject someday, like it was when I was in school. It was required for all college prep students. You had to take 2 years of Latin. And let me tell you something. That is one of the most important courses that you can take if you want to learn grammar. If you want to learn English vocabulary, if you want to learn the etymology or that is where words come from, how words are formed, I'll tell you, Latin is just very basic. All right, so content comes from two Latin words, cum, which means with, and teneo, which means to hold. Now, content, you have to have, it all depends on the emphasis on which syllable you put it. If you put content, this means the content of this book. That means what the covers hold together. That's the content of the book. Or the content of my glass of water. The content of that water is it's about half full, a little more. Nice and cold, thanks to Kara Dykstra, whose job it is to give me water each day, each Sunday. So, it's wonderful. That's content. That's what's in it. That's held together. Now, the feeling of being held together is the emphasis on the other syllable. I am content. Same word, same spelling. Little different emphasis. So I am, what Paul is saying is this. I am content no matter what the content is. All right? I am content no matter what the content of my life is. Whether it's full or whether it's empty. I have learned in whatever circumstance I am in to be content, no matter what the content is. Okay, now it didn't come easy for Paul. That's why he said, I've learned. It doesn't come easy for anybody. We are basically not content people. You ask a Dutchman, how are you? He says, I mean, if he really is talks Dutch, he will say, and excuse the Dutch here, he will say, nix de klagen. You know what that means? Nothing to complain about. So how are you? I have nothing to complain about. Well, that's saying, I am doing terrific. We basically are not content people. We aren't. People basically are not content. They're basically frustrated. Most people are. About something. What's conversation often about? It's about not enough rain or too much rain. Too hot or too cold. We aren't really content people. By and large, I'm talking about population in general are not content. And that's why Paul says, I have learned the secret of being content. It's a tremendous thing to learn. A good friend of ours, and some of you know who that is Professor Dale Grotenhuis. He was professor of music at Dort College for probably 35 years. He just passed away a couple weeks ago. His widow called us yesterday. We were at the funeral. I spoke at the graveside service. His widow, Eleanor, and some of you may know who I'm talking about because you had him at Dort or you've heard of him and her. And that's what she said to us yesterday on the phone. She said, I want to tell you my last words to my husband. She said, Jack, that was his familiar name, Jack. She said, Jack, you're going to die soon. He had pulmonary fibrosis and cancer of the lungs. She said, you're going to die soon. But she said, you know, honey, we have had it all. We've had it all. God has been so good to us. We've had wonderful years of marriage. We have 4 sons. One is with the Lord already. Another one is in the pastorate. The other 2 are God-fearing boys. We've had all kinds of wonderful experiences. In fact, she said, we've had it all. And now we can say goodbye. You know what that is? That's contentment. That's contentment. That's not asking why. It's not asking, no, this is too early. No, it's saying, it's okay. It's okay. Now that's a blessing. That is a gift of God. Believe me, that's a gift of God. It does not come naturally. Now the Apostle Paul is talking to the Philippians. And you know from references earlier that this is his thank you note to their gift that was given to him when he was in prison. And he writes it from prison. And he tells them that, you know, you have at last renewed your concern for me. They had it rough. The Philippians had it rough. There was economic difficulties in Philippi. And he makes mention of this in his 2 Corinthians letter. He talks about them. And he says that they did have it rough. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given to the Macedonian churches. That's Philippi. It's in Macedonia. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the saints. You see, they had it rough. They had economic difficulties. 6 years of it. And then they had more prosperity, and then they took a love offering for their beloved founding pastor, who was Paul. He founded the church in Philippi. He was the first one. He and Silas, Timothy, and Luke were there. And it was rough then. Paul and Silas ended in prison, beaten with rods, sitting there at midnight in the prison singing because he had done something which just made some slave owners of a young girl who could tell the fortune furious. And they brought trump charges against him and he ends in jail, he and Silas. So it was hard, really hard. But things have really improved for the Philippian church and things are going well now. And he thanks them for it. It's like blossoms that just burst out in beautiful flower. This gift of theirs to him. And so he says, I want to thank you for that. But it's not that I need it. It's not that I've learned. In whatever state I am, to be content. Now, this is something which is learned. Now, you talk about learning and you talk about school. Talk about curriculum. Talk about teacher. Do you know who the teacher is? Who teaches this contentment? Who taught Paul this contentment? It's the Lord. God is our teacher. He is teaching you. He's teaching me. He's teaching the young, the teenagers. He's teaching the young marrieds. He's teaching the oldest of us. He's teaching us all to be content. God's the teacher. And the curriculum. What is the curriculum that the Lord uses to teach us? Well, the curriculum which the Lord uses to teach us is what we go through. His providential leading. He's teaching us every single day. Here I told you about a young man who has West Nile disease. That's a terrible disease. It's a disease which is caused by a virus. And you can't take an antibiotic to just get rid of it. It's something which your body has to fight it. It's terrible. Now, why does that happen? Is it just that we're unlucky? Well, and how about someone who has cancer or who has another terrible disease, who has heart trouble, kidney trouble, any kind of difficulty? Is it just that, man, are they ever unlucky? They got a raw dealing of their hand. Got a raw. It's like playing cards. You got a tough hand. Is that the way it is? Of course not. God is in charge of our lives. Do you believe that? Is this something that is part of your conviction? That you can say, all the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy who through life has been my guide? Do you believe that? You see, He is teaching us. And Paul has learned from that teaching. He has learned from that teaching. And it wasn't easy. Remember when Paul prayed that the Lord would take away the thorn in the flesh? That was not easy. We don't know what that thorn was, but it was a terrible issue for him. And he prays 3 times. And the Lord says, no, I'm not going to take it away. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you. That's all part of the curriculum. And it's all part of the teacher's method. You see, a teacher, and there are teachers in our audience. We are teachers. You got teachers here. They make a lesson plan. And every good principal or superintendent will want a copy of the lesson plans for the whole week. How is it going to go? So the teacher has a lesson plan, lays it out, shows the principal. Now God has a lesson plan for you and for me. He's the teacher. He's the teacher. And in that lesson plan, Dave Carter has to go to the United Arab Emirates. That's part of his lesson plan. God's lesson plan for him. Sean Cook had to be in Afghanistan, Iraq. He had to be in that area. That was God's lesson plan for him. God's lesson plan for Jill is she's going to stay home with those 3 lovely boys. And Cheryl's going to stay home with her family. That's God's lesson plan. God's in charge. Now I just used 2 illustrations that are very familiar to all of us. But you know your situation. And God has a lesson planned for you. And God's the teacher. And shall I tell you something? God is good. He does not want ill for you. You remember that passage in Jeremiah? Jeremiah 29. And he's talking to the children of Israel who were in captivity and who were in difficulty. And he says, you know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to help you and not to hurt you. I've got your good in mind. I got your best in mind. Isaiah 43, the prophet Isaiah says, and he's quoting what the Lord is saying. The Lord says, fear not, because I'm with you. I've redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. And then the Lord, in Isaiah 43, talks about some really hard lesson plans, hard curriculum. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. You know who actually experienced that are the three friends of Daniel. That was God's curriculum for them. That's how God's teaching them. The flames will not set you ablaze. Do you know why? For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Since, 43 verse 4, listen. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you. That's why. That's the kind of God we have. We can never, never exaggerate the goodness of God. There are no words to exaggerate it. You know the call to worship this morning, Psalm 108? Oh, he says, great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. I mean, this is just throughout the whole Bible. God is so good. That's why Guido de Bray could say in the Belgic Confession, first article, that our God is the overflowing fountain of all good. That's why I'm glad Anna Annalise played Great is Thy Faithfulness. That's an absolute fact. I have learned, says Paul, I've learned this. I've learned to be content. Now what's the power of that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus Christ went through it himself. How could anyone imagine anything worse than what Jesus did? He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, dead, buried, descended into hell. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know why? That we might never be forsaken. And when you take communion next week and the bread is broken and the cup is poured, eat and drink in faith that Jesus' body was broken for you. He suffered unimaginable pain, suffering in body and soul for you and me. So that we can be content. So that we can be forgiven. That we can be right with the Lord. And that we can face life. You see, when Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that word do, I can do all things, talks about life, talks about our duties, talks about our daily work, talks about our studies, talks about going to school, talks about facing whatever we have to face. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that word strengthen is, listen, that is a word which just, it's in the present tense. in the Greek language, which means it is continuous. It's a constant source of strength. His strength is there constantly. You ever have a battery go out on you? Power, you turn the key, nothing there. If Christ is in your life, and I pray and I assume that He is in every one of us, when Christ is in your life, you turn the key on. Right there He is. All the time. I can do all things through Christ who infuses me with strength. I never have to have a battery charger. His strength is there always. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's nothing, nothing impossible with God. Do you believe that all? That's how we go forward. That's why at the beginning of every service, it's our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. If He who made heaven and earth could do that, He can do anything. And He's our help. In this life and in the life to come. And when you think of our life to come, I can't help but think of the end of Psalm 17 in our Psalter. Talk about contentment. Listen. When I, in righteousness at last, Thy glorious face shall see, and all this weary night is past, and I awake with Thee to view the glories that abide. Then will I be satisfied. That's contentment in life and death. And everyone said, Amen. Lord, bless this word unto our hearts. May we truly learn the lessons that You're teaching us. And may we know, O Lord, that you have the best for us in mind. Help us, Lord, to go through life that way. That we may wait upon the Lord and be of good courage. For You will strengthen us. Lead us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.